NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. It's safe to say that Dante is like no other explorer in history. It has 8 legs and weighs 3/4 of a ton. By human standards, it's slow and not so smart. But it may be Dante's descendants, not ours, that make the first landing on Mars. This summer, NASA will test the Dante robot explorer closer to home, in an active volcano called Mount Spur near Anchorage, Alaska. A similar descent in an Antarctic volcano last year was cut short by a damaged cable. Now, after an extensive redesign, Dante's ready to try again. Not only have its walking mechanism and tether been changed, so has the plan for operating it. Dave Lavery heads NASA's robotics program.
This mountain this summer is significantly different than Mount Erebus was in the Antarctic. It is a much more violently active volcano than Mount Erebus was. And as a result, it's a much more dangerous place. And so we want to really minimize the amount of human exposure on the side of the mountain at any time. As a result, we formulated a plan where the human presence will be relatively short. People will fly in when we actually deploy the robot on the side of the mountain. They'll fly in, put it in place, get it started, make sure it's running and operating properly. Then they'll take a helicopter back out and leave the machine there for up to a week, completely untended by human operators.
This ability to operate the robot from afar, called telepresence, is a critical part of the experiment. Although Dante has enough computer brain power to make some decisions on its own, most of the navigating will be done by humans sitting 90 miles away in Anchorage. That capability has already been demonstrated in NASA telepresence tests, whereby scientists can pilot and receive pictures from vehicles as far away as Antarctica.
What we're trying to do this year with Mount Spur is merge those two together, have that same telepresence interface system ported on board Dante, so that as the machine is in the crater of the volcano, the researchers and the operators and interested people in the public will have an opportunity to put themselves into this virtual volcano.
The technology used in Dante could eventually wind up in down-to-earth applications like farming. American farmers drive their tractors as much as 1 billion miles a year, says Lavery. A tedious job that is ideally suited to automation.
You can go out to a farm now, especially some of the large industrial farms, and watch what are conga lines of harvesters going across the fields. And for every one of those machines that's out there, there's a human sitting in a cab. That's something that can very easily be taken and automated because it's a very repeatable pattern that's covered. You know where the boundaries of the field are. They're very easily identifiable. The robotics technology exists to take the human out of the cab and let him be off doing other productive work while the harvester is just automatically following the rows of wheat or corn or whatever your crop is.
Although NASA is interested in developing successors to Dante for planetary exploration, non-NASA scientists may use the same robot to explore other places too dangerous for humans.
Dante as an entity could have a future in doing things, for example, in being picked up and supported by the National Science Foundation or the U.S. Geological Survey or other organizations, specifically to just continue to visit other volcanoes around the world. There's nothing new for the technologists necessarily to learn from that, but the science community can gain a lot from just continued operations of the system as it exists.
When Dante clambers into the crater of Mount Spur this summer, it will be a first. Robots haven't been built that can rappel down an active volcano. The mission carries a fair amount of technical risk, says Lavery, but that's as it should be.
There's no guarantee that we're going to get to the bottom of the crater. We may, again, get 15 or 20 or 30 meters into the crater and find out we either have a hardware failure or that we just fundamentally didn't have a good understanding of the problem, that there's something inherent about the environment that we just didn't know about that's caught us. We are very aware of that fact, that there's no guarantees on this, that this is very basic fundamental research in a climate that is poorly understood and that is completely uncontrollable, that may conspire to catch us. That's part of doing research.
This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow.